Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Lead us not into temptation. Does that bother anybody that we have to pray that to our Father? Do you mean to tell me that you and I have to pray to God, God, don't lead us into temptation? Is that something we have to pray? Because if our Father, who created you and created me, is leading you and leading me into temptation, I give up.
The truth is, God wants to protect you and grow you. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message called Temptation and shares proven truth about how to battle against temptation through prayer, while also trusting God to mature you in your faith. So stay with us. That insightful message is coming up on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, the God who created you in His image desires an intimate relationship with you. But we weaken that relationship when we fail to exercise our mind in loving Him. Dr. Young wants to help you tap into the riches of your relationship with Christ with his four-message series, Know the Bible in the Beginning. It'll help you engage His truth with your heart, soul, and mind. We'll send you a copy of Know the Bible in the Beginning as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. And you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, God Who Is Dad, Part 2.
The truth is, a lot of us have stopped praying. We just sort of surrendered. Doesn't have any meaning. I can't tell that God is there. So I've just stopped praying. Or if we pray, we're still praying on the level of a child. Now I lay me down to sleep. Or God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for this food. Oh, we have an adult version of that. Thank you for this food, and may it nourish our bodies and our bodies to thy service. We've got that one down if we're an adult. But the truth is, I don't think our praying the same way, if we say it at all, going over the same words, has much meaning to you, or I would venture to say has little or no significance to God. So the bottom line is, we don't know what to say when we get in the presence of God. We can put everybody on a guilt trip. Pray more. Power is available. You're missing out a lot if you don't really pray. And we can run through that number for a while, and all of us will feel like, well, boy, I need to start really praying. Last summer, when I was praying, trying to decide what would be the theme of our church for this year, I felt strongly that it should be the year of worship. Because I know, and you know, if you've walked with Christ for a while, if you and I are able to genuinely worship, we got it. Man, we're moving on. Our faith becomes amazingly relevant. So a year of worship. And thinking about that, I thought of this model prayer and said, that would be a wonderful thing if we studied the prayer. And I prayed that it would deepen my prayer life and deepen your prayer life. And it would be a clarion call for you and for me to begin to really pray, to listen and to talk and to fellowship and spend time with the Almighty. And as we walk through the Lord's Prayer, it's been my prayer that somehow within many of us there would quicken the desire that the apostles felt. Now, by the way, the apostles there who followed Jesus, the 12, they were experts at prayer. I would guess that every one of them could quote by heart 15, 20, 30 different prayers. They were brought up in the synagogue with the rabbis. They would pray morning, noon, and night. They had all their rituals. And the Jewish people, if they were nothing, they were a people who prayed all the time. They had a prayer for everything and for every season. These apostles were, we would say, praying machines. But when they saw Jesus in high pressure, tough moments, withdraw to the Father, when he would come back, there would be a new light and a new power and a new relevance that was, from their human perspective, out of this world. So that's how we got this model. They said to Jesus, you teach us how to pray like that. And so we have the words. So I want us today to pray this prayer. If you're able to kneel, you may not be able to where you're seated. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together this prayer. Except I really don't want us to pray it together. I want to state a word or a phrase, and then you repeat it after me, and let's wait a while until the next phrase I'll repeat, and think on that part of the prayer that we're praying. What does it mean? What are we saying? To whom are we addressing these words? What does it resonate with in our lives? So I will say the words, and then you repeat them after me, and we'll pause between the words. By the way, the most alarming time in a church is when nobody's saying anything, no music is playing. Silence is frightening. So between each phrase of this petition, we'll wait a little bit and discover again and be reminded again as to what we're really praying. I'll say the words, you repeat them after me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive Lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. A very, very, very pious man was going downtown for a meeting. He was late, and he circled the block 10 times and could not find a place to park, so he parked in a no parking zone. When he got out of his car, he wrote a note that said, "Dear officer, I circled this block 10 times and found no place to park, so I parked here to keep from being late for my meeting. Forgive us our trespasses." He got out of his meeting, went back to his car. There was a ticket, a citation on it, and the officer had written him a note. It said, "Dear sir, I have circled this block for 10 years. And if I do not give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation." We're coming to the end of our study of the Lord's Prayer. Two clauses and a benediction that really is a doxology. First clause, lead us not into temptation. Does that bother anybody that we have to pray that to our Father? You mean to tell me that you and I have to pray to God, "God, don't lead us into temptation"? Is that something we have to pray? Because if our Father, who created you and created me, is leading you and leading me into temptation, I give up. He knows every weakness in your life and my life. And when you wait in that room to see a doctor for 2 hours and 45 minutes, and you're an impatient person, and when you get in, your blood pressure is 235 over 120. Man, why did God put you in that situation as a patient? That's the reason we're patients. Knowing that you're impatient, knowing how you'd respond with anger and with frustration. Why did God put you in that situation? And you were just perusing the internet and went to a little porn site for a while. And why did God let that pop up there, knowing that I battle the weaknesses of the flesh? Why did that happen? What's God doing? And on we could go. You see, God knows how you and I are wired. He knows our Achilles heel. He knows the weakness in every single one of us. And if we've got to pray, "God, don't exploit that weakness. Don't lead me into temptation," we're praying to the Father. What kind of prayer is this? And you want scriptural evidence. You would say, "Wait a minute. Jesus is teaching us to pray, lead us not into temptation, because he has in recent times been led into temptation. Jesus was baptized, wonderful experience, the Trinity was present, this is my beloved Son," and zip, what happened in Matthew chapter 4? We're just in 6 with the Lord's Prayer. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. "Then Jesus was led," lead us not into temptation, "by the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Here is the Holy Spirit leading Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Son of God, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So Jesus had just gone through, we would say, in a precursory reading, this strong temptation. And what a strong temptation it was. By the way, Jesus was tempted here exactly like you and I are tempted. You know how temptation, all the little ones and big ones, what the real purpose behind them? It is the purpose of the evil one to get you and to me to miss the central calling of our life. That's what these temptations about in the wilderness of Jesus. You know, turn the stones to bread. He'd been fasting for 40 days. He was hungry. Somebody said, well, the devil tempted him at his weakest moment. That's incorrect. He was a moment of strength. He'd been fasting for 40 days. He didn't fall for that temptation. You see, what was the purpose of the life of Jesus? To call all the world to God. That was his calling, to call all the world to God. And I'll tell you what, devil was saying, hey, you can feed everybody. That's a tremendous impulse to follow. I could say, ladies and gentlemen, for the rest of your life, I'm going to satisfy all your needs. Come and follow me. Might it be a long line. Right? Strong way for Jesus to fulfill his life purpose. Feed everybody. Then Satan took him on the top of the temple and said, jump off. Man, God will protect you. And Jesus saw through that. By the way, he quoted scripture to counteract every temptation. Hide thy word in your heart that you might not sin against God. That's what Jesus did, the word of God. What was the temptation there? Put on a show. Man, you can get a lot of people to follow you for a long time. You jump off temples, you're not hurt. But next week, you have to jump off Mount Sinai. You have to do a bigger, better show. But get a lot of people to follow you. One way. Fulfill his purpose. Then Satan took him on the top of a high mountain and said, look at all the people, all the kings of the world. I own all this. I'll give it to you if you'll just bow down and worship. That's the old question of means and ends. Man, it's a tremendous end. Your goal is to change the world, get all the people to know God and to follow you. Therefore, I'll give it to you. But to get in that, for me to give it to you, you have to worship me. Do that which is wrong for a larger good. We get caught up in that. Jesus said, no deal. You can't tempt the Lord thy God. And then when he was through with this temptation, this is one little powerful verse. Look at verse 11. It said, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. He was exhausted at the end of temptation. So therefore, we pray, lead us not into temptation. And we say here in this scripture, the Holy Spirit, literally it says in the Greek, drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What is this all about? Because somebody here might be wise enough to say, isn't there a verse or two there somewhere that says something about this very thing? And you might be able to turn to the book of James and read there in the first chapter these verses. Listen, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, there's our word, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. And look at this, and he, God himself, does not tempt anyone. Ooh. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. When sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Be not deceived. Wait a minute. We've got a little conflict here, don't we? Sounds like it. What's the answer? I think it's found in the word for temptation. The Greek word for temptation can mean to tempt, which means to entice to evil, to do wrong, or it can mean to test. Now, it begins to make sense. So God allows us to be tested to make us stronger, but he does not tempt us That is the work of Satan or the devil. By the way, in the Bible, you have two primary words for the devil. You have Satan and the word devil. Satan is someone who assails you. It is the prosecutor who always takes all of your garbage and all of my garbage and takes it before God and before other people. That's the work of the devil. And Satan is a slanderer. By the way, you can slander somebody, not just lying about them, but you can tell the truth about them in order to hurt them. That also is slander. So we have Satan and we have the devil, and they are there. So lead us not into temptation. He's saying lead us not into testing that we can't stand up under. And we are all tested. Well, how are we tested? The Bible tells us. The world, that'll test you, won't it? The flesh is always with us. And the devil, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, always before us. So we are tested. Now, sometimes we can't tell the difference between am I being tested or am I being tempted or I'm being tempted, I'm being tested. Because sometimes when we're being tested, it ends up being a temptation and Slewfoot uses it to bring us down. But we have to be tested. We have to take tests. We're in school. We took tests. Do you wake up at night still sweating and you'd wake up dreaming that you're going into a test you hadn't studied for? I mean, that happens once in a while. Yes, it's my checkered testing background. You know what I mean? We have to be tested.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Matthew 11:28-30. These words of Jesus strike a note in our hearts. We all want a place to go where we will be received and cared for, and we certainly need rest. But put on a yoke? That is a symbol of drudgery. Thankfully, Jesus knows us, and when we allow him to do so, he puts a yoke on us that fits perfectly and fills us with a sense of purpose, power, and direction. Plus, Jesus himself pulls next to us all the way. So when we put on the well-fitting yoke of Christ, our weakness is swallowed up in his strength, and we discover that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So I asked you, how is his yoke fitting you these days?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you deepen your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's 4-message CD series called Know the Bible in the Beginning. Many of us have loved God passionately with our hearts, just as we loved him with our lifestyles or our souls, but we've allowed our minds to rest, and in doing so, we have forgotten the Bible. Dr. Young's 4-message series, Know the Bible in the Beginning, will help you tap into the riches of your relationship with Christ by engaging with his truth, heart, soul, and mind. We're excited to send you a copy of Know the Bible in the Beginning as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for listening to The Winning Walk today. Join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion to Dr. Young's message and be encouraged to cry out to the God who is your loving Father.